in a series on baptism. This is the third week. One thing we said was that baptism means to immerse. So here's the picture. Here's our illustration. Ready? If baptism means to immerse, here's baptism. That's what baptism looks like, okay? So just to make sure that we're following with that thought. On week one, we said that the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus. We're looking at the three different baptisms we find in the New Testament. We see that the Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. This is the salvation experience. On week two, which was last week when we were speaking of water baptism, we said that the disciple baptizes us in water. And so a disciple or another follower of Jesus, you don't have to be a pastor or some kind of licensed minister in order to baptize people. In fact, I want to give you the go. Ready? According to Matthew 28:19, Victory, go make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And so that's our job. And so just get hot. Go baptize people. This is this morning in our third week. I want to show you one other, and it's our third and final baptism, and it's this thought that Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. So this morning we're going to be talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Our text, we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 3. So if you want to turn there, and we're going to begin reading in Matthew chapter 3. Now let me say this to you. In this reading, the context, the person speaking, that does the speaking here is, first of all, John the Baptist, okay? So we have a quote by John the Baptist, and he's referring to Jesus, and so we're going to read this in a minute. But I want to say this to you. The verse we're about to read in Matthew chapter 3 is one of a very few things that are mentioned in all four of the Gospels. How many Gospels are there? What are they? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? And this idea, this quote from John the Baptist that we're going to read is mentioned in all four of the Gospels, which is pretty unusual because there's not that many things that are mentioned in all four Gospels. In fact, the list is pretty small. Most of it has to do with the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. That's all mentioned in all four Gospels, plus the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so here is our verse, okay? So this is John talking, John the Baptist. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, who's he talking about there? So he said, he that's coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So John, prophesying there of Jesus, said, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, in these three baptisms, I want to kind of point out, remember that I said earlier in this series that we're going to be looking for the number three. Anybody remember that the number three is significant in the Bible? In fact, if you will look at the symbolization for what the number three represents, it represents divine wholeness, completeness, and perfection. So when you see three things, that number three represents divine wholeness, divine completion. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Trinity, right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit combined make the wholeness, the fullness of the Godhead. And so the number three is significant, and you'll see it all throughout the Bible. You'll certainly see it, as I pointed out, in these teachings. So the three baptisms that we're talking about, the first baptism that we have, I believe, it mentions salvation, okay? So when we said Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, it's really about the salvation experience, okay? Okay, so the first baptism represents salvation. The second baptism, of course, is in water, right? And so that's water baptism. The third baptism is about spirit. So I want you to think about these three things as we're going through this last of the teachings, okay? I personally believe that these three things, since there's three of them, represents maturity and wholeness of the believer. Now, how many of you in here want to be a mature, whole, complete believer, right? I mean, a disciple of Jesus, right? I believe that these three baptisms represent those things. Now, in the first baptism, right? In salvation, we become a new man. Can all the new men in the place raise your hand? If you're born again, you have become a new man, right? Well, in water baptism, what happens? Well, in water baptism is where we cut off the old man. So in salvation, I'm a regenerated new man. And in water baptism, what do? With the old man? We bury him, right? And then we're raised up to new life, the word tells us. But what happens in the baptism in the Holy Spirit, this third baptism that represents spirit, what happens there? The old man, or the new man has been born. The old man has been cut off. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is what brings us power to live in new life. It's this infusion, this baptism. We are baptized in the Holy Spirit so that we can live a new life. Now, question for you. When we call ourselves Christians, and if we are a Christian, it means that we are Christ-like. So Jesus is our example. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And so thinking of these three baptisms, these three things, my question to you is, do you think these three things happened to Jesus? If Jesus is our example, did he experience these things? Well, we all throw out a yes, but let's qualify that for a minute. Salvation. Was Jesus saved? Yes. Careful. One of the other terms for salvation is born again. You heard that? That's not just Christianese. That's from the Bible. John 3, right? So it calls the salvation experience is also called being born again. So I would say to you, Jesus is not saved because he was born right the first time. So he didn't need to be born again because he was born right the first time. The rest of us who are children of Adam, born underneath the heritage of sin and disobedience, we have to be born again to see the kingdom of God because we were born wrong the first time. All of God's children. Born wrong the first time, right? And so Jesus did not need to be born again. Was Jesus water baptized? Yes. He goes to John, who's baptizing, who's his cousin, cousin John, baptizing in the Jordan River, and says, hey, you know, I need you to baptize me. And John said, no, I'm not worthy to baptize you. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said, this needs to happen in order to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, this is part of the Christian walk. So Jesus, even though he didn't need to be born again, he submitted to water baptism. So if Jesus is our example, how many of us need to be water baptized? All of us. Did this happen to Jesus? Remember, as soon as he comes up out of the water from baptism, what happens? The sky opens up. Father says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, right? And then we see the Spirit, like a dove, descending on Jesus. So Jesus experienced the indwelling of the Spirit. And the Bible tells us, remember in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come on people. It would come on them momentarily, but it would leave. Jesus was the first person who the Spirit came on and remained, the word tells us. So Jesus, listen to this now. Before Jesus started his ministry, he had to have this experience with the Spirit. I don't know if you're understanding what I just said, the depth of what I just said. Before Jesus began his ministry, he needed the empowerment of the Spirit. So if the Son of God needed the empowerment of the Spirit to live the life and perform the ministry that God called him to do, how much more you and I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? If we're going to be effective in the kingdom. I'm going to tell you this morning, this is a mature message. This is a message of maturity. So I hope you got your fork and knife out this morning. And I really want to encourage you to engage in this. Again, we at Victory, we are a discipleship church. We are interested in raising disciples. So I want to make sure that we are all growing. So this is a very grown-up message. But I would submit to you that in order for us believers to be mature, to be brought to maturity in our walk, obviously we need salvation. We need the Holy Spirit to baptize us into Jesus. We need water baptism. and we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, after his ministry, after his after his death, burial, and resurrection, he's talking to his disciples, right? And so they had seen him crucified, they had seen him buried, they had experienced his resurrected life. And so he is giving them, in the book of Acts, he's giving them some of his last comment, his last instructions. And here's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. It says this, okay, he's got all the disciples with him. And Jesus said, and it said, being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So the last words of Jesus talking to his disciples, he had already breathed on them, remember, and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. He had breathed on them. Obviously they believed in him because they had been following him. They have experienced him in his resurrected form. And so the last thing he says to them is, okay, guys, listen, I've got one more thing for you. I need you to hang around Jerusalem because you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, don't leave. And the joke is, a few of them tried to, and he ran them down on the road to Emmaus, right? And he brought them back because he said, I've got a promise for you. And so on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, Pentecost was a festival. So on this certain day, the Holy Spirit was poured out. John had prophesied that Jesus was going to baptize them in the Holy Ghost and in fire. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. These were believers who knew Jesus. These were born-again believers who knew Jesus, but he said, I've got something else for you. And the promise was for the Holy Spirit. Now, what happened on the day of Pentecost? Everything changed. Peter, who couldn't do anything right, all of a sudden preached a sermon where thousands of people were saved at one time. All of a sudden, these disciples, these apostles who knew Jesus, who were born again, all of a sudden, they emerged with a new sense of power. Now, the reason I'm saying this is a mature message is because most of us like to hear messages that talk about things for us. I like to hear a message that talk, God's got good things for me. God wants to give me this. God wants to bless me. God wants to provide. This is not one of those messages. Because I believe the main reason, now the Holy Spirit does many things in our life, but the one that Jesus emphasized was when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are gonna have power to be a witness. In other words, this isn't about what you can get, it's about what an empowerment so that you can give to others. And it is time for us as believers to quit sitting in here and feeding on the things that just make us happy and understand that we are the voice for the kingdom of God. We are the ones that carry the gospel, right? And so we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do what God has called us to do. He's given the responsibility to us, and he wouldn't give us the responsibility without the resource. The Holy Spirit is the resource. So Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost, and you remember what happened. I mean, things just went crazy. They were speaking in other languages. Everybody thought they were drunk. I mean, this thing was dramatic. It shook up the whole town. And it made such an impact that the people said this in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Here's what happened. It says, now when they, that's the people, heard this, they heard Peter's message, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles. Now listen, here's the question. They were pricked in their heart. They heard the message. They were touched by the message. They were ready to respond. So they go to Peter and the other apostles. Okay, what is our response? Here's what it says. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Stop there. What is repentance? How do you get saved? You repent. So he says, so the people are saying, hey, this message has rattled me. All that I'm experiencing has rattled me. I'm ready to respond. How do I respond? The first thing that Peter says is repent. And then be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Tracking with me? Do this, do this. Now, what does it go on to say? It says this, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The people said, what do we need to do in response to what I'm sensing here, what I'm feeling? Well, first thing is you need to repent. Then you need to get water baptized. And it says this, that ye shall receive the Holy Spirit. Now that language is a little tricky unless you go into the Greek and you study that little phrase that says, and ye shall. And ye shall, okay? It's three words in English, but in the Greek it's one word. It's the word lambano. And that word means to take or receive, as if to possess or to carry. So what he's saying is, repent, be baptized, and then take the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the way that reads, sometimes people think, well, I'll get baptized, and if God wants to give me the Holy Spirit, I guess he'll give it to me. Doesn't it read in that way? If you're really a student of the Bible, I challenge you, go to the Greek and look at that. Look at that little phrase, and you shall receive. Because what it says is to take it, to receive it. In other words, Peter's instructions to these new believers, to these people who wanted to respond to God, he said, there's three parts to this: salvation, water baptism, and receiving of the Holy Spirit. Are you okay with that? A second example of this happens in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. One of my favorite characters in the New Testament was a man named Philip. And what happened is Philip was part of this group in Jerusalem who experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But because they were shaking things up so bad, persecution came against them. And we're all afraid of persecution, but how many of you know the church thrives in persecution? So dare we say bring it on? Apparently not. You're not ready for that. Persecution hits the church. And so these apostles and disciples, they begin to scatter. So Philip goes to a place called Samaria, and he begins to preach. Revival breaks out in Samaria. And here's what happens. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 says this, as he preached. But when they, who's they? That's the people of Samaria, believed Philip, preaching things concerning the kingdom of God and in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, first of all, they believed. What is believing? Then they were baptized, both men and women. You see it? See the two baptisms? All right, jump with me to verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So what we had was people who became born again by believing on Jesus. We had people who were baptized, right? And Philip's like, yay, this is so great. And the apostles heard about him. So Peter and John came down to visit Samaria and see what was going on in Samaria. And when they came, they said, hey, have you guys received the Holy Spirit? Now we know that they were born again, and we know that they were baptized, but they had not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It tells us that. It said none of them had experienced the Holy Spirit. They were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see how I'm going brick by brick here and just kind of laying this foundation for you? Why am I doing this? Because I know that some of us have this, whatever, this bias against the Holy Spirit. And I'm just trying to debunk it. I just want to debunk it. Because the enemy would love for you to have this block about the Holy Spirit so that you don't receive the Holy Spirit, so you can't be effective to bring the gospel to your world. And so some of us feel spooky about the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it's not spooky. And so even in this second example, they were born again, they were baptized, but the apostles came down to make sure that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you follow it out, if you keep going through the book of Acts, you'll go to Acts chapter 10, where Peter goes to Cornelius, and he ministers to the Gentiles, right? And it says that as he was ministering to Cornelius, that the Holy Spirit fell on him. Well, why did the Holy Spirit fall on them? First of all, they believed, and we know that they believed because Cornelius' heart was so open. He had asked Peter to come. He had seen a vision from God, and so we know he was born again, and then he was actually baptized in the Holy Spirit before he was baptized in water. So it doesn't have to necessarily be in this order. This is first, but these two can happen at any time. So Cornelius and his buddies were even baptized in the Holy Spirit before they were baptized in water. In fact, because they experienced this, it made them want this, right? We see in Acts chapter 19, when Paul and Apollos are in Ephesus and they're preaching, and it said that they had found some disciples there. Now, what is a disciple? What's another name for a disciple? A believer. These men were believers, and they had been baptized, and so Peter says to them, "Hey, have you guys received the Holy Spirit?" And they said, "We hadn't even heard if there was a Holy Spirit." How many of you have been to that church? I didn't even know there was such thing as a Holy Spirit. So these were disciples he found, and he said, and obviously they had received the word, and so he said, "Well, have you guys received the Holy Spirit since ye believed?" Is the exact way it reads. And they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And said, "Well, what were you baptized into?" They said, "We experienced John's baptism." Okay? And so Peter and them laid hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And they too were baptized into the name of Jesus. Those are about four examples I'm giving you to make one point. I believe God has three baptisms for us. We all have to be born again. We need to be baptized in water. But God wants to baptize us with His Spirit. It is no secret, church, that we live in perilous times. There is a lot going on in our world. There's a lot happening. And do you know what the answer is to these perilous times? It's a powerful church. It's the church of Jesus Christ rising up to be who God's called us to be. I'm telling you, the day for the American church being a gathering of casual Christians is over. The day for us sitting back only worrying about my four and no more is over. The enemy is bringing destruction to the culture around us, and the answer is a powerful church. But the devil has convinced us that this is weird, this is strange, this is not for today. It was only for the apostles. There's some excuse why the enemy doesn't want us to get here. But it is time for the church to rise up and say, "I want all that God has for me. I want to be empowered to be a witness. I want to be everything." And so that we as the church can rise up and be the answer that God has called us to be. Listen, some of you know things that you don't even know you know. There's a hungry world out there who needs to know what you know about the Lord. All of us, if you've been sitting in church, you accidentally know things that somebody needs. We just need the power to deliver it, church. And we have to have the motivation and the unction to get out there and be help to somebody else. We carry the good news of the gospel on the inside of us, church. And the Holy Spirit is what causes us to be effective. The whole book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles is what it's called. In other words, what the apostles did with the Holy Spirit. The whole book is about what they did with it. What did they do? They went to the gate beautiful and raised a lame man. There was people healed. There was prison doors open. There was walls shaken. There was miracles as the apostle of Philip, after he's preaching in Samaria, and I don't know, I've said this to you before, but you know, Philip was preaching in Samaria under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and revival broke out. Now, for a preacher, that's a good thing. I mean, if I'm preaching and revival breaks out, guess what? Cancel the lunch plans. We're staying here, right? Listen, y'all are all clapping until that stomach. It's Father's Day. And there's a roast in the crock pot right now. Philip's preaching and revival breaks out. I mean, that's everything for a preacher. And in the middle of revival, listen what happens. The Lord comes to him and says, Philip, I want you to leave here and go out to this desolate road. And Philip goes, I'm on it. He turned from revival and left Samaria and went to a desolate place. Can somebody say, that's crazy? That seems like the wrong thing to do. But he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. He knows that the Holy Spirit knows something he doesn't know. So he leaves revival and goes on down this road, and there's water there, and there's an Ethiopian man there sitting in a chariot reading from the book of Isaiah. And God says, there's your man. Philip walks up to the chariot, says, do you know what you're reading? He said, how could I know unless a man helped me? Philip jumps in there and shares the gospel with this Ethiopian. Now listen to me carefully. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Philip and this Ethiopian brought the gospel to another continent. Two men under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit brought the gospel to a whole nother continent. How could Philip had seen that in Samaria if he was enjoying just a good church service? If he wasn't led by the Holy Spirit, how would he have known that? But being led by the Spirit, because he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he's led by the Spirit to perform things, to do things for the kingdom that he had only dreamt of. And I believe there are visions and dreams in the heart of people here today who want to do something for the kingdom of God. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be fruitful. He ministers to the Ethiopian, baptizes him in water, and then it's this interesting little footnote in the Bible where it says that Philip was translated. Laurie and I were talking this week, saying, isn't it interesting how in the Bible they'll throw in things like that and not give any definition to it? In other words, Philip was here. Track with me now. I don't know if I lost you. Philip was here, and then all of a sudden, poof, he was found somewhere else. Teleported. And it gives us like this much details on it. And you just want to go, God, could you give me a little more? But what was that experience like for Philip? How did that settle in Philip's spirit under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be so effective for the kingdom of God? Church, in order for us to be the believers that God has called us to be, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Would you do this with me? Would you stand? I'm sorry. No, stay seated. I got one more thing. I'm sorry. My little tabernacle thing. Y'all wouldn't have wanted to leave without me showing this, right? We've been talking about the tabernacle. This will bring conclusion to this. We're showing how many gates are there? One. What's his name? Jesus is the way, right? So this is the outer courts. This is the inner courts, right? It's made up of two rooms, the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place. This is where the presence of God is. In other words, in our journey, this is where we want to be, in his presence. So everything is moving this way. And what we've said was there was three things that you would encounter as you're moving toward this destination. First thing is the brazen altar. That's where a sacrifice is made. for sins. So there's the salvation experience. Second thing we talked about was the brazen laver. This is where the washing occurred. This is representative of water baptism. And there's one more thing. There's one more thing that had to happen if you're going to get here. It was the anointing. It was a flask of oil where the priest would receive anointing. I submit to you that this represents salvation. This represents water baptism, and this represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, track with me. What happened in here? The priest ministered before the Lord in here. So preparation to minister before the Lord is salvation, water baptism, and baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's oil given here. There's anointing, represents spirit. In order for us to minister before the Lord, and you say, you may say, well, what does that have to do with me? First of all, the priests were the only ones who ministered before the Lord. So it sounds, Jody, like you're saying that only Jody needs to have these three things. But how many of you know that I'm not the only priest in the house today? Because all of us are kings and priests, right? We have all been made priests, right? So you're a priest. And the job was to go, the job of the priest was to minister before the Lord. Well, how does a priest minister? He does two things. He represents God to man and man to God. So he goes into the presence of God and calls God's presence to the people. He stands in between and mediates because his desire is for God to be with his people. We come in here and we sing, and I stand up here and coach you. And what I'm saying is God wants to be in your living room. God wants to be in your life. The presence of God, he represents God to man, but also man to God, saying, come on, people. Come on, we got to get in his presence. Come this way, come this way. Bring the gospel, bring salvation, bring hope to the world. So I submit to you that in order for us to be effective ministers and priests to the world around us, we need salvation, water baptism, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen? Stand up with me.